Early on the first day of the week, while it was dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linens wrapping there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This ends the reading.
Alone in sorrow. The other two had already left to go back home, seemingly unaffected by his disappearance. She had gone there in the pre-dawn hours to finish preparing the body of her beloved friend and teacher for its final resting place. That alone was hard enough. Saying goodbye to one who had taught her, valued her, renewed her own sense of purpose and worth. And then to add insult to injury, it would seem someone had stolen the body of perhaps the only one who had ever made her feel complete. Mary Magdalene is quite distressed. She stays at the entrance of the tomb, wondering with tear-filled eyes. Then she hears a voice. "Why are you weeping? They have taken him. Oh, sir, if you know where he is, please just tell me so I can take care of his body and give him a proper burial." "But Mary, teacher, is it? It is. It's you." She has come there, sorrow-filled from the death of the one whose power and grace had already given her new life. Then, as the sun rises, the grace of the risen Son of God bathes her in the light of a new day. He is risen. It wasn't a cruel joke. God in Christ is not dead, but is alive. In and through him, sin and death have no victory. I want to share another one of the scripture readings that was assigned on the liturgical calendar for today. May not seem especially Eastery, but you'll see the connection. when I'm finished. It's from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and it begins in chapter 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Paul is writing to the Corinthians to give them encouragement, as Paul often does with the churches that he's helped to start. But think again, remember about his story. He touches upon it in that reading. He was, by all standards, a very righteous Jew, well-educated, well-dressed, suitable for polite society. He even had the dedication and the passion for his faith to strike out against this emerging group of people calling themselves disciples, lest they threaten his faith and his people. He wasn't a God-hater. Just one who was very, very off track from God's true plan for salvation. And then he is traveling towards Syria's capital. On that road, Jesus comes down, speaks to him, blinds him temporarily to get his attention. But then he is not punished for his sins, but rather transformed into a passionate advocate for the gospel, an enthusiastic good news guy. Paul, like Mary, had experienced a foretaste of the resurrection by the new life that began on that road to Damascus. He knew he'd had a past. He claims he's not even fit to be in the same room with the original 12 apostles. But then he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. I love that verse. It reminds me of a line from one of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, where the lead character, Celia, is finally leaving the husband who for so many years had abused her and berated her and did his best to steal any sense of worth she might ever have had. As she is leaving, he tells her she won't make it. She'll be back. She's nothing. And she replies as she is riding away, I may be poor, I may be black, and I may be ugly, but dear God, I'm here. I'm here. Paul writes, I am the least of the apostles, unfit, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. Probably every one of us here can understand what it's like to have a past, to feel as though our lives are messy, that we, if not now, then somewhere in our life, felt unfit to be called children of God. But today, Easter morning reminds us once again that grace rises with the sun S-O-N. And we too are bathed in the light of a new day. This is a new day, Resurrection Day, time to celebrate a promise that is in the process of being fulfilled. We experience that promise right here, right now, when we let that grace wash over us and pick us up and give us new hope and new life. This is a new day, a day to throw off the chains of sin that bind us, to break free from anger and grudges and bitterness, to let go of guilt and addiction, to put our past behind us and move forward into the full light of the sun. We can join Mary, and we can join Paul, and we can proudly proclaim, "His grace towards me has not been in vain." In moments of darkness, perhaps feeling lost and abandoned as Mary did when she first approached that tomb, you can turn to God amidst your pain. And if you trust, truly trust God, you will receive hope, the promise of God's presence with you, and the light of grace. By God's infinite love and mercy, even when you feel at your most unlovable, you can proclaim, "His grace towards me has not been in vain." Whenever you take the steps to honestly see your mistakes and your bad choices, when you acknowledge those that you have hurt and summon the courage to repent and repair those broken relationships, you grow in honor, dignity, strength of character, and in faith. Through the power of the risen Christ, each of us has the opportunity and the strength to summon, to stand and face another and say, "I was wrong. Please forgive me. What can I do to make it right?" Each of us can experience the power of the resurrection, of new life, right here, right now, when we seek to heal what we have broken. And when we do, we can, with our brother Paul, proclaim, "His grace towards me has not been in vain." None of us is perfect. Now, I'm sorry if that surprises you or disappoints any of you who thought I was, but I'm not. Each of us can sometimes be bound by the instincts of human nature, such instincts as clinging to the familiar, not wanting anything to change. You know, some people say change is a four-letter word. Sometimes looking to our past as if it were some golden era far better than today. It's not so unusual, really. But when it prevents us from being in the now, when it keeps us from recognizing the work of God happening in the present, when it paralyzes us so that we cannot imagine or move toward the future, then we stagnate. Oh, we're comfortable enough, all right, right up until just before we wither and perish. But each time that you stretch beyond what you know, each time you are willing to acknowledge that even though you may not recognize it, it might be the work of God. Anytime you will yourself to step outside of your comfort zone and try something new for the purpose and the glory of God, the Lord is honored regardless of the outcome. And you too can proclaim, "His grace towards me has not been in vain." Whenever we can finally reach that point in our faith and life journey where we can look at ourselves in the mirror or look at another human being, known to us or not, and be able to claim and affirm that the one we are looking at is made in the image and likeness of God, we are truly blessed. When you can give and accept love without strings or limitations, when you can see the Christ in the other and in yourself, sin. You can know at all times and in all places and in every circumstance that you are God's beloved child. And in that moment, holy grace rises like the sun once more, and you are bathed in the glorious light of Easter morning. Let all of God's children claim and proclaim. Say it with me. His grace towards me has not been in vain. I'm going to try that again. I'll get it better the second time. His grace towards me has not been in vain. Christ is risen.
He's risen.
Amen.